You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The team of the 90s congratulate you, Jerry, as the owner, and all your players.
How about that, Cowboys? Yeah!
The Cowboys are going to have to regroup in a very serious way. The Cowboys are going back to the drawing board.
The ball is intercepted, and the game is over.
It was my job to keep it together. I've never been able to know why I f***ed it up. I'd do anything known to man to get in a Super Bowl. That's a fact.
We have NFL players on the field at training camp. The Dallas Cowboys out in Oxnard, California. The Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. Dak Prescott, not so big Ben Roethlisberger. It is NFL Live on this Thursday afternoon. I'm Dan Graziano. I am here today with this stellar crew, Louis Riddick, Tim Hasselbeck, and Jeff Darlington. We're going to get into all of this, starting with the return of Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott. You may remember that before fracturing his ankle in week 5 last season, Prescott actually broke the NFL record for most passing yards in a 4-game span with almost 1,700. In fact, by the end of week 6, which he didn't play in because he was hurt, he was still leading the league in passing yards. Of course, that injury cost him the rest of the 2020 season, but he's out on the field today with the rest of his team. And the Cowboys have said he is a full go for the start of training camp. So let's start with you, Jeff Darlington. What more can you tell us about the Cowboys and their plan for Dak this camp?
Well, Dan, we can start with what Dak Prescott said this offseason. Of course, optimistic players never necessarily indicating exactly where that player will be in training camp, but Dak said this offseason that he felt like he could play a game already if needed. Mike McCarthy, though, the head coach, saying that in the offseason they did put certain limitations on Dak. They do expect him to be full go for the start of training camp, also emphasizing if there are needs to pull him out of certain periods, they will do that. But they believe that Dak Prescott is good to go after having right ankle surgery in October through a pair of dislocated and a combine fracture in that right ankle. So, Dan, all systems go for Dak Prescott.
That's great news. Obviously, eager to see him back out on the field and doing his thing. But, Tim, that was a pretty major injury. So, as he comes back from it, even if he is a full go, what kind of stuff are you looking for when you watch him out on the field?
Yeah, I think beyond that, like it ends up being the mental aspect of coming back from an injury. I mean, you know, many quarterbacks end up having left knee injuries because, you know, when they step to throw, that's the knee that, you know, the leg that gets rolled up on. And sometimes overcoming that is a bit of a hurdle. You know, you may be cleared medically by the doctors, but where is your head when you have people around your feet? And that's what it would be for Dak. Like when a play breaks down and he has to take off and run, what does that look like? Is he, you know, does he run the way he did, you know, prior to the injury, or is he more cautious? Is he willing to slide feet first, or is he not? And so I think those are the things. Once you see that, I think you'll have a better understanding of where he is physically, but also where he is mentally coming back from this injury.
Yeah, Tim, those are great points. I mean, really, when you're looking at Dak, that's what you want to see. You want to make sure that really there's just no hangups as far, or no reservations on his part, as far as his ability to just cut it loose. And then in particular, I'll tell you what else I'm looking for with this team shifting away from the offense is the defensive side of the football, which is, although it's not, it doesn't have as much star power as the offense does, obviously, with Dak Prescott, the defense is really what is going to be what ultimately determines just how well this team does this year. And it's really, to me, going to start in the middle of this defense with young Micah Parsons, drafted in the first round out of Penn State. This is the one individual outside of the quarterback who has to have a very real, tangible, impactful effect on this football team. He has to be the guy who really stirs the drink, so to speak, on the defensive side. And you're seeing it here in these highlights. He has to have a Deion Jones type of effect like Deion had for Dan Quinn in Atlanta. He has to have a Bobby Wagner type of effect like Bobby had on the Seattle defense in up there in the Pacific Northwest. If he's not able to do that, if the six consecutive defensive draft picks that they drafted this year are not able to have a tangible effect on this team defensively, this team is again going to fall short of expectations, which, according to Jerry Jones and how emotional he was yesterday, simply are to get back to the Super Bowl. Not be better, not be above 500, not be competitive in the wildcard round, get back to the Super Bowl. That's it.
I think it's a great point, Lou. When you talk about Micah Parsons, I was asked earlier this morning, most impactful rookie this season. I think you're on the money with Micah Parsons. If you think about this, there's a good chance, like day one, he's the signal caller. And you talk about like an epically bad defense a year ago. I think, maybe worst all time in terms of points, second all time in terms of yards for that franchise, in terms of what they've given up, they gave up a year ago. Yeah, like he needs to be as good as everyone kind of thought he was going to be or could be for them to have a good enough turnaround where that defense can compete at a championship level.
Lots of pressure on the rookie, lots of pressure on the new defensive coordinator Dan Quinn there in Dallas to fix what was their biggest problem last year. Hey, the Cowboys are celebrating a birthday out there at training camp practice today. Star running back Ezekiel Elliott, he wore a helmet to practice, not that hat, but he turned 26 years old today. Just 26, feels like he's been in the league a while, and after last year's struggles, it can be easy to forget just how good he's been. The only players in NFL history to produce more scrimmage yards before turning 26, Hall of Famers Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton, who ended up ranking number one and number two on the league's all-time rushing list. So for more on Zeke and the Cowboys, we welcome in our Ed Werder, who's out there in Oxnard at practice. Ed, what's happening out there today?
Jerry Jones made Ezekiel Elliott the highest paid running back in football. Then he hired a head coach in Mike McCarthy who builds everything around the quarterback. So it's not a coincidence that Elliott, a two-time NFL rushing champion, played a diminished role and had the worst season of his career in 2020. Injuries to Dak Prescott and the team's best offensive lineman exaggerated Elliott's woes. I asked McCarthy today his expectations for Elliott this season.
He does so much more than just run the football for us. So he's a magnet full of energy. He's got so much natural leadership just in the way he goes about his business. So the production on the field is not a concern of mine. The production will be there with the opportunity. We have a clean start. Health is always part of your success. And I think as long as we stay healthy, our success has a chance to be at a very high level.
Elliott reported here in excellent physical condition after spending the offseason working with Josh Hicks, a private running backs coach. Dak Prescott said this offseason that when Elliott's in healthy and in shape, he's the best running back in football. And Elliott's proven that statement true in the past, but last season he led the NFL in one very dubious category. Elliott's six fumbles were the most in the NFL among non-quarterbacks, and McCarthy makes no excuses for that. Elliott cannot allow ball security to be an issue, Dan.
Thanks, Ed. Some news today on the NFL's continuing efforts to encourage their players to get vaccinated against COVID-19. The league sent a memo to teams this afternoon detailing procedures for handling COVID-related scheduling changes, and some big stuff in here, including if a game is canceled due to an outbreak among unvaccinated players and cannot be rescheduled, it will be forfeited, with the team responsible for the outbreak being charged with a loss. Also, and if a game is canceled, players on both teams will not receive their game checks for that week. And if you're vaccinated, you can return after you test negative twice. After a positive test, you can return after testing negative twice. Whereas if you're unvaccinated, it's like last year where you still have to miss at least 10 days. This is not going over universally well among the players. Star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins of Arizona tweeting, "Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. So, Lewis, thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think my issue with this, as far as people overall and their unwillingness to want to protect themselves and protect others, is this. Look, I'm a staunch believer in this science, and I'm a staunch believer in trusting people that have proven themselves to be credible to me as far as giving me sound medical advice all throughout my life. And I have leaned on some of those people in this instance when it comes to the decision to get vaccinated or get my family vaccinated and trying to protect them and protect myself. And they have presented me with credible scientific information as to the benefits and the risk versus reward, of getting vaccinated. On the flip side, when it comes to people who have decided not to get vaccinated, from a scientific standpoint, from a scientific standpoint, the thing that I always have my ear to the ground in terms of trying to listen for is, what is the scientifically backed reasoning as to why people are reluctant to get vaccinated, and what do they feel as though is not worth the risk of getting vaccinated? It's just not worth it to them. And that's something that I have failed to really, at this point in time, really hear laid out for me. And look, obviously it comes down to personal choice, and everybody has their reasons as to why they do or don't do it. But look, obviously right now the league is incentivizing players to make sure that they try and protect themselves and protect their teammates. And if not, if something goes wrong, it's going to cost them and they're going to have to suffer the consequences. And look, I don't necessarily see a problem with that. I really don't. I understand it puts some players in uncomfortable situations, and every player will react differently to this. I just haven't heard a compelling argument on the flip side as to why people don't want to get vaccinated in that regard.
Yeah, and I think part of that, Lou, is probably people probably don't feel like they need to tell people why they're not getting vaccinated. But I would say this. I think what this does, the DeAndre Hopkins reaction, as well as some other players' reaction, gives you a glimpse into a little bit when numbers are released about, 85% of, these teams, are vaccinated or have reached an 85% threshold. At a time when roster sizes are 90 players, those numbers really don't matter. And they really shouldn't matter all that much to the NFL from the standpoint of, if it's the five guys that truly mean something to a franchise. Like, we all know that there's basically five stars on every team. Everybody else is just kind of a piece of the puzzle that is replaceable with somebody else on someone else's roster that gets cut. But there are five stars. Well, if the stars aren't getting vaccinated, then the NFL's got a little bit of a problem. And so this is a bit of a glimpse. You know, this isn't Cole Beasley saying that he's not getting vaccinated. This is DeAndre Hopkins. And so I think now when you start to see this, those percentage numbers start to mean less and less to the NFL.
Yeah, I don't see the NFL budging on this anytime soon. They've been pretty strong in their belief that this is the way to go. So we'll continue to follow this story likely all year long.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This team is a dark horse Super Bowl contender.
Mayfield, touchdown! Miles Garrett, did it all!
They're definitely a contender, without a doubt.
Came up with an outstanding catch.
Getting better, it's just something you have to deal with.
Good job, boy. Good job.
This team is riddled with talent.
Last year was a fun season for Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Under first-year head coach Kevin Stefanski, they made the playoffs for the first time in 18 years. Mayfield played well enough to get the team at least talking about a contract extension this offseason. While it's still not done, Baker's not worried about it.
I genuinely do mean that I'm about working.
Okay, I think you're working on your second set of drills, coaches.
I'm not worried about it at all. You're not working on your second drill.
Baker talking about winning there. If he wants to keep winning, he's going to have to find some consistency. Last year, he had 8 games where his QBR was over 80, which is really good. Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes were the only ones that had more. And the Browns were 7-1 in those games. But he also had 6 games where that QBR was under 50, and the Browns were 2-4 in those games. So for the first time in his NFL career, Mayfield enters the season with the same head coach that he had the year before. He finished strong in Kevin Stefanski's offense and looking for more this year. Jeff, what can you tell us about where things stand with Baker Mayfield and the contract extension?
Well, for the moment, we don't have any reason to believe that this is imminent or even really close to getting done. We do have optimism from Baker Mayfield's camp, which has already expressed a clear belief that this can get done even without Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson's deals also getting done. So right now, Baker Mayfield believing that they have enough information from the market having been set that they could get a deal done before the start of the season. Of course, that is subjective to the fact that the Browns would put a deal on the table that would be to Baker's liking. So point being, they're open to it. If the Browns start to come to the table with a real offer, this could absolutely get done before the start of the season. But it doesn't sound to me like Baker is the one going to the Browns overly eager to necessarily get this deal done.
So, Lewis, whether it gets done or not, they have to get ready for the season. What's the biggest thing the Browns need to do to keep that momentum going with Stefanski and Baker Mayfield heading into this year?
But I think it needs to be, in 2021, more of what you saw at the end of 2020, which is a heavy run-centric offense and a passing game that is built off of that threat of the credible run-type game, because obviously Baker's statistics in terms of yards per attempt, completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio all jump up dramatically when the run game is credible. And there is a credible threat of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt absolutely gassing you. And then he really does benefit off of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just a fact. And as long as they stay within that kind of framework and Kevin Stefanski continues to call the offense within that kind of context and Baker continues to exercise great judgment and great accuracy throwing the football, he's only going to get better and better and better and stay on rhythm and stay on schedule with this offense. And his numbers are just going to go higher and higher and higher. And really that just works in his favor as in regards to a contract extension. And I think, building off of what Jeff just said, if Baker is to kind of take that, you know, that mindset into this season and really kind of like bet on himself, he could really, really stand to benefit and cash in big time.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lou. I think when you look at his skill set, okay, we know he's an accurate thrower. I think what would surprise people, he's got a much bigger arm than people realize. And so when you talk about play action, ability to push the ball down the field at times, taking shots, like, I actually think he's a really nice fit for what Kevin Stefanski really wants to do on offense. And I think, you know, in many ways, it's, if you look at what Kirk Cousins did with Stefanski in Minnesota, like, you could see Baker Mayfield doing that and more. And so to that point, and you're exactly right about betting on yourself, like, if you're Baker Mayfield, you had a season where you threw 8 interceptions this past year, like, in 26 touchdowns. That's the best, you know, touchdown interception ratio of your entire career. I would think that it even improves this year. I would think that his numbers across the board are better. And so if you're Baker Mayfield, I think you're better off being patient. I think he's going to have the best year of his career, and he'd be better off waiting to sign a deal until after the season.
Having the best year of his career and the Browns having to pay him next offseason, certainly not the worst case scenario for either player or team there.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Take a look at our next UFC Fight Night Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas with another stacked card. Former champ TJ Dillashaw makes his return to the octagon against second-ranked Corey Sandhagen in the bantamweight main event. The prelims are going to start at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. The Pittsburgh Steelers opened their training camp practices today. They won the AFC North last year, but they're going to be looking to rebound from that poor finish down the stretch. Remember, they started 11-0 and then sputtered late. The offensive line in particular did some sputtering, but here's Mike Tomlin on starting fresh with a new one.
You know, I mean, we don't have a bar set real high. We were last in the league in rushing, so we got nowhere to go but up from certain aspects of that. It's not something that we fear, no. You know, there's an expectation here that those guys are going to deliver, to be quite honest with you. I'm not going to be surprised when they do. As a matter of fact, we expect them to. And so, you know, you can write a rag to riches tale if you so choose, like we're starting at ground zero or in the basement, if you will. But we don't see it that way, and we definitely don't expect our results to be elementary.
He calls it rags to riches. We're going to call it a tale of two lines. Last year, the Pittsburgh offensive line sustained blocks for 2.5 seconds or longer, less than 51% of the time, which is terrible. It was 28th in the NFL. The defensive line was a different story. Steelers actually led the NFL in pass rush win rate and collected a league-best 56 sacks. So, Tim, when you look at this Steelers offense, we saw how bad the offensive line was. They picked a running back, Najee Harris, in the first round. How can he and the return of Ben Roethlisberger help that offense and that offensive line?
Well, Ben Roethlisberger can help that offensive line because as a veteran quarterback, he's learned how to get rid of the ball quickly. So that can help in terms of pass protection. In terms of the guys there, I just loved listening to Mike Tomlin talk about the five guys that he has or the linemen that they have there, not caring what everyone else thinks about them, but that they believe in them. And so I think part of what he's saying is Kevin Colbert does a good job with our personnel, and we think these guys can be good as a group. And then on top of it, oh, by the way, we just added this running back who we think is going to make everybody in front of him better. And truth be told, really good backs can do that. Is it about the offensive line and the back? Sure it is. But making people miss is also part of it. Running through contact and breaking tackles is part of it. And so, yeah, I think that kind of the combination of those things, Dan, Ben being good getting rid of the ball, the group being better than they were last year because they were so bad, and then a back that is a difference maker can make the offense better than it was a year ago.
Would be nice if they're a little more two-dimensional in that offense this year. Lewis, on the defensive side of the ball, we have seen how good their defense has been the last couple of years. A couple of key losses on that side of the ball over the offseason. So how does it look to you going into 2021?
Well, let me just first start off by saying I never thought I'd hear the day that a quarterback was defending a subpar
right?
offensive line, Tim. But you know what? Hey, you know what? I still love you, man. You know, and I respect the hell out of you. But you know what? Moving on over to the defensive side, look, I think this side of the ball, Dan, has the potential, again, to be top three in scoring, be top two in scoring. Heck, be the best scoring defense in the NFL because I think that they do. When you talk about drafting and developing, they do as good a job of drafting and developing on this side of the ball as any team in the NFL. And really, it's going to start at the outside linebacker position with T.J. Watt. And remember this name, Alex Highsmith, drafted in the third round last year from UNC Charlotte, who's really taking over for Bud Dupree, who I think is going to have a breakout type of year, a double-digit sack type of year, because the young man has it all, speed, power, tenacity, a thirst for wanting to learn more and develop more as far as his pass rush package. And I'll tell you this, if Melvin Ingram can come in there and be healthy, and those three together, Melvin, TJ, and then Alex, can together rush the passer with some of the people that they have up front with Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, and then in the back end, you've heard Mike Tomlin recently talk about how much in high regard he holds guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick. This defense is set, man. They are set to be top 1, 2, 3 in the NFL in scoring, which is what matters the most. And if the offense can be competent running the football. That's one of the words that Mike Tomlin used last year when we talked to him before Monday Night Football. If they can just be competent, everything else will flow off of that. And if they can do that, this football team will be right where it needs to be. And believe me, this isn't just a desire of Mike Tomlin. Coming to the very top, they want to run the football better this year. So that offensive line, Tim, it better be better.
Expectations always high in Pittsburgh. You know, they have not had a losing record since 2003, which was the year before they drafted Ben Roethlisberger. Hey, did you watch the NHL expansion draft last night on ESPN2? It was the Seattle Kraken making their picks. They had a bunch of Seattle celebrities there doing it, including the always entertaining Marshawn Lynch, who was there to deliver the Kraken's pick. Take a listen.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yup, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow.
Not a player who's on Marshawn's fantasy hockey team, clearly. But, hey, that got us thinking. We've had NFL expansion drafts, not in a while, but let's pretend we're having one right now, and you are running the teams that have to decide which players to protect that can't be drafted by this hypothetical expansion team. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to throw out a quarterback, and you guys tell me whether you would protect him or let him go. Lewis, I'm going to start with you, and the first quarterback on the list is Matt Ryan of the Falcons.
Yeah, look, Matt Ryan is someone who, look, when the draft came up this past year, I thought they should draft his successor. and have someone in the fold, because I thought Matt may have 2-3 years left down the road, okay, as far as going into the future. I would protect him. I would not go ahead and expose him to an expansive draft at this point, because we have seen that quarterbacks, with the increases in terms of strength and rehabilitation, rest and recuperation, can play much further into their careers than they have in the past. And I think Matt Ryan's going to have a heck of a year this year under, you know, under a new regime, and Arthur Smith is going to get the very best out of him.
Surprisingly, I'm going to disagree with Lou on this one. Look, at 36 years old, the past three seasons, he hasn't quarterbacked the Falcons to a winning record. Okay, he's due over $20 million this year. And Arthur Smith is in the first year as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he doesn't necessarily need to be good right now this year. He needs to be good in a couple years. And so for those reasons, I would actually make him available.
You know, it's funny, the contract might actually protect him even if the team didn't. Not the case with Jalen Hurts of the Eagles. Tim, would you be protecting Jalen Hurts from an expansion draft?
Oh, I would be protecting him. I got a quarterback on a rookie deal that I think showed enough promise last year to be built around. And so because of that, there's no way that I would let somebody else get their hands on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see enough to where I would feel as though I could build around him and that this would be my quarterback of the future. And I think, quite honestly, given the fact that, you know, some of the things you just alluded to, Tim, we have a new regime here. We have a new coaching staff, a guy who's supposedly we're going to be giving a couple years to in order to really establish his philosophy and his way of doing things. I would take my chances, quite honestly, on seeing if someone else would draft him and or if I could upgrade the position based on what he showed me in year one, which to me, subjectively, wasn't anything that I would be that excited about.
Carolina Panthers traded for Sam Darnold, so presumably they would protect him from an expansion draft. Lewis, would you?
Yeah, I would, because you know what? I need to know this about Sam Darnold. I need to know if he really is someone who has really hit his ceiling, or if the circumstances and the situation that he has been subjected to in New York were what caused him to hit his ceiling in New York. So I still feel, and I think Carolina obviously feels the same way. So let's just see. I would want to protect him and see if I could work with him and continue to try and develop him along the arc that everybody thought that he would take when he was drafted out of USC.
I like this game. I think I see Sam Darnold in a similar fashion to Lou, but I actually wouldn't protect him just based on the amount of time. I think that that would probably prevent somebody from wanting to take a chance on Sam Darnold. You're running out of time. He's already 3 years into the league to evaluate him under his rookie deal. And so for that reason, I think I would roll the dice and make him available.
I like the game too, Tim. I think we'll do it again sometime.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN Fantasy Football is back, and with the season right around the corner, you can get your league set now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball.
Now you get a chance to see the two of the best that's going to ever do it and that has done it face off against each other.
Would I be successful without him? I don't believe I would have been.
Just do your job, right?
Good.
Hey, take it to another level, right?
But I feel the same vice versa as well.
You know what Tom's going to do with this.
I can't wait to watch it because it's like a chess match between these two sides.
The most highly anticipated game on the NFL schedule right now is the Week 4 matchup between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Patriots in Foxborough. Former Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, you might remember, had a nice little 20-year run in New England, but he left last year for Tampa Bay, where he promptly won his 7th Super Bowl title while the Patriots missed the playoffs without him. Is he looking forward to the matchup?
I got a lot of familiarity playing in the stadium. I'm sure it'll be a great opportunity for me to go back to a place that I know as well as anywhere. So it'll be a great day for football. I'm not naive to the fact that there's some marquee games that you always look at over the course of a season, a matchup of you know, places guys have been versus where they're at now. It's just naturally there's more buildup. But at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be a game and we're going to get out there. We're going to prepare like we've been preparing. You know, our team at the Bucks has done some really cool things over the course of last season. I thought we got really good toward the later end of the season. And I thought we were still an ascending football team.
Tom Brady has beaten 31 of the 32 NFL franchises. Of course, the only one he hasn't being the Patriots, who he hasn't played against. There have been three quarterbacks who have defeated all 32 of the current NFL franchises. Two of them are Hall of Famers, and one is surely headed that way. Brett Favre was the first to do it. Peyton Manning followed, and Drew Brees would be the one who will head to Canton, certainly when he is eligible. So, Lewis, you like to pick games. This game's in week four. It's a little ways off, but who's going to win it?
Yeah, Dan, I think, you know, I think Tampa Bay will win this game. And I think the reasons why I think that, obviously, you know, if I really were to just pick apart some of the things that Tom was just saying right there, you know, in that interview with Jim Gray, he said this. He says he thought that they were really hitting their stride basically at the end of last year and that they got really good at certain things. And the key word was, he said, I think we're still ascending. And I think with the fact that you're bringing back 22 starters that have a lot of familiarity with one another on the football field, have a lot of familiarity with a coaching staff that in all three phases of the game, kick, offense, defense, and special teams, all remains intact. And then you're talking about playing a game in the first quarter, first month of the season. That all adds up very well, or very much so, in the Buccaneers' favor. Despite the fact that I think the Patriots will be a Super Bowl team in 2020, I'm not a Super Bowl, a playoff team in 2021, will be infinitely better than they were last year when they were just hamstrung by personnel deficiencies across the board for a number of different reasons. And I think it will be a close football game, a very closely contested football game. But I think Tampa Bay will win this because they just had too many things going in their favor. And they have what is obviously a very highly motivated quarterback who is letting his feelings be known in ways that he has never done before. And I think we all love that.
Almost had to tear up the rundown for a bold prediction there, Lewis. I'm glad you caught yourself. Tim, you're someone who's lived
man.
In New England.
You guys always looking for a gotcha moment.
I'm just paying attention. I want you to know I was paying attention. That's all. I'm listening when you talk. It matters to me what you say. Tim.
All right, my man.
You have lived in New England among Patriots fans. What do you think it's going to feel like in that stadium that night?
Oh, I think there's going to be a warm welcome for Tom Brady. There are a lot of Buccaneers fans that live in and around Foxborough these days, but I'm not sure they know much about the team's history. Look at that. The welcome will be great, and I think the emotions will be high for fans, but the emotions are going to be really high for Tom Brady, and Lou's right. Like, the candid nature that we are getting, you know, of Tom Brady right now about him acknowledging that, like, oh, it's not just another game. Like, how many times have we heard players, you know, go back and play somebody and be like, well, I'm going to prepare just the same way. It's just another game. Like, no, it's not. Like, listen, I wasn't in a fraction of the player that Brady was. But when I went to a team that, like, that had cut me previously, like, it meant something to me. So now magnify that times whatever you need to magnify it by to have the greatest of all time, a guy that has won, you know, championship after championship in New England, and basically say, like, I'm going to go do it somewhere else. Like, he basically got the last laugh last year because he won a Super Bowl and the Patriots didn't even make the postseason. But, like, there's just something about Brady that wants to, I think, just finish it off maybe just a little bit more to prove his point.
So, Tim, I've actually talked to Tom about some of this, what you're mentioning, when it comes to kind of talking openly about the fact that he is playing in week four. And I think that this is all strategic. In fact, I know it is, from the standpoint that he recognizes that the more that he can just sort of envelop himself and prepare himself for what it's going to feel like, the less surprised he'll be. And I think that this is one of the things that makes him so special. You can't surprise him. And in this situation, you won't be able to, because he'll go in there knowing what it's going to feel like. And as such, that feeling won't overcome him in a negative way. So once again, I just think that he does things that are just next level. And I think that this is part of it. To your point, it feels like most players would be cliche about this. Tom, though, recognizing almost the way golfers do. You talk to golfers going into a tournament and they're told by a sports psychologist, embrace this. And I think that Tom ultimately will do that so that he is not surprised by this moment.
It'll be fun. My guess is this is not the last time we will discuss that game on NFL Live between now and the time it is played. But in the meantime, we have Patriots news. New on NFL Live, our Field Yates tweeting, Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore was present when team veterans reported to training camp, per source. He'll begin camp on PUP after a season-ending injury in 2020, but that is good news, obviously. Jeff, what do you got on that?
Well, look, the interesting part of this is that we wondered if Gilmore would be a holdout, but this is sort of a hold-in because he's starting on PUP. So why would he stay away as a holdout if he's going to be there and injured anyway? He doesn't have to pay the $50,000 fine, and he's technically still maintaining the leverage that he has under this contract situation.
Fair enough. And here I was about to present it as a good sign. Gilmore and the Patriots been in discussions about renewing his contract. Jeff reigning on that particular parade, which is fine. We got to keep it in perspective.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Pittsburgh Steelers had their first training camp practice today out at their team facility in Pittsburgh. Lots of changes for the Steelers after they fizzled down the stretch after their 11-0 start last year. But one thing that hasn't changed, our Steelers reporter Brooke Pryor out there on the scene covering the Steelers for us. Brooke, you heard from Ben Roethlisberger today. What did he have to say?
Well, Dan, the first thing that Ben Roethlisberger told me is that he feels fresher going into this training camp. And there's a reason for that. This time a year ago, he had been throwing thousands of balls as he rehabbed his elbow, coming back from that season-ending surgery. This time, though, he told me the only balls he's thrown since minicamp were to his son in the backyard.
It's become as much of a mental offseason as it has physical in terms of learning new things. If you talk about the percentage of new, the run-game formations, I mean, everything is, it's a high percentage of new, so it's a challenge. We knew that when Matt was coming in, it was going to be a lot of new stuff, and we talked a lot before this, and he kind of told me what was going to be the amount of newness and what was going to be new, so, it's, like I said, it's a challenge, but I'm excited for the challenge.
To help with that challenge, his daughter has been making him flashcards to help teach him some of Matt Canada's new verbiage. She's even quizzed him a couple times. But even though things might sound different, they still look the same. Today we saw him throw a quick screen, a quick bubble pass to Deontay Johnson, went for a long touchdown, something that we saw pretty often last year as far as those short throws go. But, Ben Roethlisberger said that because of all this new stuff, he's having to look at his wrist a lot more. But he told me, new isn't bad. New is new.
Thanks, Brooke. We'll have plenty more from Brooke as Steelers camp rolls along. In the meantime, Lewis, a lot of talk about new stuff and changes. What specifically do the Steelers have to change in order to be successful this year on offense?
Yeah, look, I think from a running the ball perspective, Dan, they just have to be, much more efficient being able to give themselves a chance to get into second and short, third and short type of situations. And they have to be able to capture the line of scrimmage, something that they've been able to do going back years, decades. And I think, this change, or I don't want to really say this change in philosophy, but kind of like this kind of re-establishing this philosophy is coming from the very top of this organization. Look, Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, has talked about the fact that not only has Mike Tomlin told him that this is who they want to be this year as far as capturing the line of scrimmage and being someone that can really dominate running the football, that ownership, that Mr. Rooney wants this to be how this team really goes about its business, that he wants them to be much more physical. He doesn't necessarily want them to be a team that is constantly in four wides or four wides and a tight end, no backs, or four wides and one running back, or three wides and a tight end, and just throwing the football over the place. They don't want to be that from a DNA, from a philosophical perspective. We'll just see whether or not they have the personnel to be able to do it up front and what it's going to look like.
Tim, remember they had to change Ben Roethlisberger's contract to get him back and under the cap this year. How do you think he will perform for the Steelers in 21?
I think he'll play well. I mean, and I think that, you know, this idea that he was horrible last year, which I feel like I keep hearing, I don't think that that was the case. I mean, the guy threw 33 touchdowns and 10 picks. Just so we're clear, like Justin Herbert threw 31 touchdowns and 10 picks. Kyler Murray, 26 and 12. Matthew Stafford, 26 and 10. Like, Ben Roethlisberger is giving you a chance to win. And by the way, he did it, and we've established it on this show, that he did it behind a bad offensive line and a team that was not running the football well. So now, pair him with Mike Tomlin, an awesome defense, a good front office that makes good personnel decisions. Like, I don't think that Ben Roethlisberger is done, even when so many of the guys that were his contemporaries that came into the league same time of him as him, even though those guys are done.
Yeah, Tim, I'm really curious to see what kind of motivation we see behind Ben this season as well. Will he be the type of guy who kind of takes what has been almost unequivocal doubt across the board, except for maybe what you're saying, about his potential for this season? I think that he is the type who will sort of harness that and maybe turn it into something worthwhile. We'll find out. I mean, I thought that he was coming back when we saw the photo of him. He looked much slimmer. I know that was a big talk on social media, but I mean, he pretty much looked the same in the press conference, maybe just a little beard trim. So maybe that's not necessarily exactly the motivation here.
Shirt says different, Jeff.
Been a big guy.
Says different. So obviously he looks different. Going to be Big Ben's 18th.
I thought maybe he looked a little different. He doesn't really look different.
But the shirt says different. So that's what we go on. It's going to be his 18th season. But he hasn't won a playoff game since 2016. We got time for one more thing. And if you're watching Jeff Darlington and thinking, what's that guy been up to? The answer is fishing. Look at this. What happened here?
It's not real, man.
Lewis is disputing.
Oh, wow.
That's real.
That's
not real.
Black grouper caught in the dry Tortugas. Lewis thinks it's a stuffed fish, and maybe we'll just go with that. But it was
maybe.
What are you wearing?
Defend your honor.
Got about 50 to 60.
Like that one, hey, sir,
like
man.
Normal clothes on. What are you wearing fishing in the other one? Like, would you just get off the golf course?
That does look more golf.
Yeah, I mean,
I gotta have a talk with the producers. I don't wear collared shirts when I was fishing. That was one day. I was there, and Buddy said, "Let's go out." I don't have to defend myself. This is ridiculous.
Hey, man.
Look at those beautiful fish.
That looks fake.
It's been a good day.
Heck yeah, that thing is
fishing live.
Jeff, can you spin it? Can you spin that fish, Jeff?
You can't spin a fish. It doesn't have centrifugal force. But you can spin a book, Lewis. You can spin a book.
We've lost complete control of the show.
You can always spin books, Lewis. We're going to leave every show.
That's impressive.
You're spinning books because it makes Lewis so upset.
You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of that thing slipping off your finger and busting up those pretty teeth of yours, Darlington. Yeah. Just make sure it doesn't get off center there.
Hey.
Our audience,
I've never messed up, huh?
Our audience now has an answer to what would they be doing if they weren't talking about Aaron Rodgers every day. Thanks for joining us on NFL Live. We're back with more tomorrow with Spinning Jeff.